My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, let's please note that I picked heroes, and it was not me that brought the Avengers into worship, but that it was Becky that did that. But I have to appreciate it because I do have a deep love for especially the Avengers, but superheroes as a whole. Please note that it's the Superman bear that's mine and not the Captain America. But when it comes to the superheroes and connecting them in, I remember back to when I first got to this church. Now, some of you may know, and some of you might not remember, but I was actually several days late in coming to Torrance to start my appointment here. Why? Because I was scheduled to be on a youth mission trip until after the 4th of July, though I was supposed to start here on July 1st. So I actually transitioned appointments while out of the state. Where was I? I was out in Arizona, and it was an annual trip, and for a few years, the youth from my church had been joining with the youth from Becky's church to go on what was called the Sierra Service Project mission trip, which takes youth onto Native American reservations to do home repairs and other work to be able to uplift people on in tribal communities. For this particular trip, we were going out to Navajo Nation in Saley, Arizona, up in the very corner of Arizona. And one of the things that we did for this trip, as was the tradition, is that we went camping for a few days on our way out there, actually out in Havasu. And just a tip for you, do not tent camp in Lake Havasu the very last week of July because it was so hot, we were literally melting and had to go hang out at a Burger King during the day to find air conditioning because it was just that hot. But one of the things that we did while camping was to do some devotion time and spiritual prep work before going on the mission trip. And that year, surprisingly enough for Becky and I, we picked superheroes as the theme of that trip. We had taken a Captain America with us that we were taking pictures with, and we had made t-shirts for each of the youth, navy blue t-shirts that we had done a Superman symbol with the first letter of their name on it on the front, and we had made red silk capes with Philippians 4:13 written on the bottom of it and had superhero shirts for each of the youth to say, you are being a superhero because you are taking the talents and gifts that God has given you and you are using those to the betterment of a community outside of yours and people who are needing your help. For every wall that you paint, for every roof that you fix, for every ramp that you work on building, you are being a hero, utilizing the extraordinary gifts that God has given you for the purpose of making this a better world. And I was thinking about that as preparing for today. I found that shirt with my cape, with my super S on the first front, and was remembering the message of that, utilizing the gifts that we have to help other people and to make the world a better place. And what better story to illustrate that than the book of Esther? The book of Esther, which takes place in exile. God's people who are not living in Israel, God's people that are not living in their familiar communities, but have been taken unwillingly to live in Babylon, to live in a foreign country under foreign rule, to be a minority, to be an oppressed people, to be people at the will of a king that wasn't theirs. And here in the book of Esther, some of the interesting things include the absence of God's name. Not once in this book is God listed. Not once is God referenced. And for some people, it makes it a controversial book, feeling like, why is it in the Bible if God seems to be absent? But I argue to you that God is absolutely not absent from this book, and I hope by the end of the sermon that you will agree with me. So we don't have God by name, but who do we have? We have a Jew by the name of Mordecai, who has taken in his cousin, beautiful young Esther, because both of her parents have passed away, and so he adopts her and raises her as his own. And while Esther is living with Mordecai, the king, we're going to call him King A, because pronouncing his name is just beyond my capabilities too often. But King A fires his queen, and he begins a search for a new queen. Let's call it the Babylonian beauty contest. And Esther is chosen for her beauty to be in this contest, to be in the competition to be the new queen. And guess who wins? Esther. Her beauty shines above the others, and the king recognizes it and chooses her to be the new queen. So now Esther lives in the palace. Esther lives where she is at any time able to be summoned by the king to be at his beck and call, but only when he calls. And Mordecai knows this. Mordecai sees the place that she's in. And one day, Mordecai finds out about a plot. An evil man by the name of Haman, who was in the king's palace, one of his top men, makes a plot against the Jews and decides that he is going to manipulate the king to pass an edict that all Jews be killed. Mordecai finds this out, and here in our text this morning, sends a message to Esther, sends a message to Esther to beg her to approach the king to speak up for the Jews and to be able to save them. But did you notice what Mordecai did before he approached Esther? What does it say in here? But it says he put on sackcloth and ashes and fasted. What are these? But these are acts of faith. When somebody is seeking the Lord, when somebody is seeking the Lord's guidance, when somebody is seeking to lament or cry out to the Lord, they put on sackcloth and ashes in a way of showing their grief, in a way of showing their struggle. And so here, he shows his need to the Lord and has the Lord on his side before he approaches Esther. But what do we notice? Esther says, I can't. Like so many others in our scripture, all throughout it, her first words are, I can't. Moses says, I can't. Jeremiah says, I can't. David says, I can't. Over and over and over again, the Lord calls people into actions and they say, I can't. I'm just a regular person. I am no superhero. I can't do it. There's somebody else. How many times have each of us been in that position? Where we've been called, where we've been asked, and our immediate response is, I can't, I shouldn't, there's somebody else, it's not me. Too often times we don't give ourselves enough credit. Too often times we don't see what we are capable of, even though somebody else or the Lord is recognizing it in us. Mordecai is recognizing what Esther is capable of. Mordecai is recognizing that the Lord has set it up just perfectly for Esther to be the hero of this story. And so what does he tell her? When she says, I can't approach the king, he must call for me. If I call to him, he could take my life, and I can't risk it. But Mordecai, in the most famous and most pertinent verse of this text in the book of Esther, says, if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. One, we see Mordecai has faith that God's plan to save the Jews will happen. It will come from someplace else if it's not you, but who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. Mordecai says, you are there for a reason. God has placed you there for just a time as this. Have faith, step up, and be the one who gives deliverance to your people. And how does Esther respond? She responds asking a favor back from Mordecai. Mordecai, will you and all the Jews in the city put on sackcloth and ashes and fast for 3 days? Take this act of faith for me. Take this act to seek God's help, and then I will do as you asked. And there's a happy ending to this story. A happy ending as Esther does just as Mordecai says, and utilizing her intelligence and her smarts, holds feasts for the king, gets him right into the place she needs him to be, and then asks him to spare her life and that of her people. And Haman's plot is exposed, and instead of Jews on the gallows, it's Haman himself. You see, Mordecai in this story recognized the hero inside of Esther. And what do we see but the hero inside of Mordecai? Because the story is named for Esther, and she is a hero of this story, but she is who she is because of the other heroes around her as well. Mordecai is an unsung hero, and how his faith drove him to save his people. All of the people who prayed and fasted and wore sackcloth, they are unsung heroes as well, as they surrounded Esther with the support and faith that she needed to do the job that she did. And what are we reminded in this story? But that we are all heroes. That we all have within us what is needed to save one another, to radically change this world, and to bring into it what is so desperately needed. Mordecai says, maybe you have been put in just the right place for such a time as this. And time is what I challenge you to see, to find the inner hero that lives inside of you. Time, T-I-M-E, T for our talents. You see, we each have our own unique set of gifts and talents that God has created inside of us. Those talents that are mixed with the power of the Holy Spirit that we have each received. We each have our talents. It's not about whether or not there are heroes inside of us, but whether or not we are allowing them to be used for the good of the world. You have talents. You have gifts. You have an incredible being inside of you, the presence of God that seeks to be called into action. Will you follow that call? One of the ways we follow that call with the eye and time is in intentional relationships. When we see more than just our needs, when we see the interconnected web of relationships around us and where our role is within them, and when we take our critical place, we become heroes to those who are connected around us. We gain the opportunity to follow God in being the presence that's needed for those around us. You see, as we look, we find in Mark 4, where the disciples are in Capernaum with Jesus. And Jesus has been doing wonderful things. Jesus is the true hero of the story, right? And they're trying to find out who the second greatest hero is. And as they're walking along, following Jesus as they're supposed to, they're grumbling and talking amongst themselves and having an argument. When they finally get to their destination in Capernaum, Jesus finally calls them out and he says, okay, tell me, what have you been arguing about? I hear you arguing. I know what's going on. I got ears in the back of my head. I am the Lord. And they're not willing to tell him. And finally, it comes out that they were arguing about who was the greatest among them. And how does Jesus respond? But he tells them, anybody who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Jesus says to become great is to put others first. When we put others first, in our time, in our energy, in our emotions, and in our care, we become a hero to them. The simple things we do to uplift one another and put them first are some of the greatest actions that we can take. And what do we have within that? The M, making moments count. Even the simplest things that are done in faith can have a huge impact. How do we not miss those moments? Mordecai didn't miss his moment to step up and speak to Esther, to find a way to get a message to her, to encourage her, and to let her see what was inside of her and the opportunity that she had. Esther, though she struggled to see it, didn't miss the moment to step up, to risk her own life, and to unveil Haman's plot to take out the Jews. Every day is full of moments. Every day is full of moments for us to make an impact and a difference, even in the simplest of things. How are we taking those moments and making the most of them? And finally, the E is in our everyday faith of not taking it off. So many superheroes have costumes that they put on and they take off. And you would think when they take it off that they become everyday people, but they never take off who they are. Take away the shield and the suit, and Captain America is still Captain America. Take off the cape and put on the button-up shirt and the glasses of Superman. And though he goes by the name of Clark Kent, he is still Superman in everything that he does. We wear our faith every day and always is the calling that we have. To put it first in who we are, even in a world that challenges us to be an employee first and a Christian second, to be a citizen first and a Christian second, to be a family member or a friend first and a Christian second. But we remember with Mordecai that first was his faith, that first was to put on the sackcloth and ashes and to fast and lament before anything else. How do we, especially now, put our faith first, our identity as Christ's disciple first and foremost in everything that we do, before any action to pray, before any moment or day to go to God and seek God's guidance and help, to ensure that our faith is not something that we put on when it's convenient and take off when it's not, but to wear it at all times, loud and proud, to be the children of God and Christ's disciples. For faith, you see, challenges us to see the dark moments and the challenging times as opportunities for us to step up as God's heroes in this world, whether it's the front man like Esther or the ones behind the scenes, those still, quiet voices that are critical in the story. And your voice, your gifts, and your presence are critical in the work that God is doing in this world. May God bless you, may God keep you, and may God be making his face to shine upon you, now and always. Amen.